me at this point call our meeting to order. It's now 1:09. Today is April the 5th. This is a meeting of the Ligon County Research and Development Authority Board of Governors meeting. Let me welcome everybody in the room. We have a number of visitors today, and for the purpose of us recording who all you are, would you please begin here to my right and identify yourself, the organization you're with, and perhaps anything else we'd like to know.
I'm Lindsay Volpe. With the Tallahassee Land County Office of Economic Vitality, and I'll save my comments because I know Al and I have an opportunity to chat with you in a few minutes.
Great.
I'm Al Everett, Director of the Office of Economic Vitality, and as Lindsay said, we're going to present in just a few minutes.
We look forward to your presentations today.
Thank you.
And all around the room?
Stephanie Schuette from Talcor, Property Manager of Innovation Park.
Stephanie's added a lot of value coming on the team. We're proud to have you aboard. Let's see on around the room over this way. Counselors here.
Good morning. Melissa Van Sickle. I'm the General Counsel, and I'm with the law firm Brown
& And just because we have so many visitors, let's the staff identify themselves too, please.
I'm Denise Bilbo. I'm the Director of Programs and Communications.
Michael Tetnowski, Director of Entrepreneurship.
Katie Dilby, Administrative Coordinator of Leon County Research and Development Authority.
Michael's our newest member of the team, and we look forward to adding his expertise and value to our organization. Let me, at this point in time, ask our board members if any have modifications to the agenda. And hearing none, we will move on to any public comment. And hearing none there, we'll ask for approval of the minutes of the October 5th, 2017 meeting. That's a long time ago.
I know. Move approval, Mr. Chair.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Hearing no contest against that, we will accept that as approval. Next, we have the consent agenda. I think there's
Mr.
at least
Chair,
one item that we need to remove. Go ahead.
Before we get to that, we do need to approve the Gainesville, Alaska trip. Technically, those are minutes. It should be approved.
Okay, technically, then we have minutes. Although, did we formally meet? I guess we did. We all sat together anyhow.
Yeah, we just didn't. We didn't conduct any business. The minutes basically consist of the agenda that showed what we did.
Yep. So, all right. That has been provided to our board before. Those in favor, signify saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. First, let's get a motion. Here's a motion from Kristen and a second from Kim. Thank you, Kim.
Which one?
Which one? You know. I've got three of them.
Quick, flip a coin.
Give it to Moore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kim
Moore has the honor then. Good. Okay, we now go to consent agenda. We will, at the request of our executive director, remove the item H, the trail agreement. We'll have some further discussion on that. The chair would normally say if there were any issues at all with the audit, he would like to have that pulled. However, the audit was an extremely clean, a very, very professional, very, very great job staff, and very great job our support team. Any other issues on there that should be removed for consideration, further discussion, etc.? Hearing none, the item on the floor is the consent agenda minus item H, trail agreement. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
And any further discussion? Consent agenda, therefore, is passed with everybody saying yay.
Yay.
All right, we have as our guest today.
Do we want to go ahead and do the...
Yeah, let's go back and do H.
Yeah,
all right.
H.
Mr. Executive Director, please present the items for discussion.
The reason we pulled the agreement is the version that you saw in your packet was not the final version. There were four changes that got made from the executive committee that didn't get included in this document. So I wanted to run you through on the screen here real quick what the changes were. They're not substantive. I mean, we basically had approved this, not basically, we approved this in the executive committee. This is the version that was approved by the county commission and is the document's been signed by the county administrator. So this change basically just requires us to not put any unreasonable limits on public access to the trail after it's done, which we would have done anyway. And by unreasonable, we could put, you know, time of day limits and things like that on it, but that's one change. The other change, another change is that we're obligated to pay the county for any work that they perform prior to the date of termination of the agreement. So if we, you know, we have the right of termination of this agreement, so if we were to do that, we'd still have to pay them whatever we owed them for the work they had performed. We removed a section on dispute resolution. It was determined that it was really sort of unnecessary in this particular circumstance, and it was just very lengthy and, like I said, unnecessary. And finally, we added a section which I didn't really think was necessary because we're subject to this anyway, but just clarifies that, or restates that we're subject to the public records law for the state. And that's the extent of the changes.
Those seem to be too controversial, but there is a question.
Not a question, comment. Mr. Chair. Just wanted to let the board know that on advice of the county attorney and conversation with our staff, I recuse myself from the vote at the executive committee, and I will do so again here. I've got the recusal form, and the language, just to put in the record, is because it's more of a perception of conflict, but there is benefit to the organization, Leon County, which I represent on the board. So keeping it clear, it passed on consent to the county commission. I did vote on that, but I will recuse myself from this vote.
Yeah. Okay.
We hand that to Peggy.
So recorded.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Therefore, we call someone to make a motion to accept this document at this time, the agreement.
So moved.
Motion's made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Those in favor of the approving the trail agreement, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. It is my great pleasure to welcome Al Latimer and Lindsay back to her old home. Office around the corner. You used to sit out there, I remember, in your swimsuit and just sun all afternoon.
That was somebody else.
That was somebody else. All right. Well, I did think I could get a good laugh out of her. Yeah. She did smile. That was nice. A long time ago, Kim Williams and I helped introduce Al to the community, took him to lunch one day, not in this organization, but just as friends of the community. And we're glad to see how you continue to move forward and making progress. We love to hear the fact that great opportunities may be just knocking on our door out there waiting for the right circumstances to come together. We're really proud of what's going on over Danfoss Turbo Corps, the efforts that are being made there on behalf of so many in the community to see that continue to grow. I like the concept of adopting the magnetism as one of the focal points that we have. Somebody came up maybe a couple of years ago. There was a magnetic coast was a good quote. I really like that. I don't know that we're using that so much anymore, but it really seemed to fit and ring a bell and make me seem like, yeah, this is something we can rally around. So, Al, you have the floor.
Thank you. And if it's okay, I'm going to go behind Kim over here where I have a little more.
Which one? Sorry, Al.
So, first of all, let me say thank you for the opportunity to come and talk to you. We are at home among partners. Our partnership with the Innovation Park is really, really good. Of course, you know that the strategic plan calls for us to embrace collaboration as we try to broaden the economic vitality across the community, and so the partnership is good. We endeavor to make sure that as we work together, all carrying the same workload, that we share the credit. Are we going to be perfect and every time a microphone is put in our face and we are given the opportunity to, you know, say thank you, individually, if we're trying to just remember who all of our partners are, who all contributed, we're going to forget sometimes. Don't hold that against us, because our success is your success. We recognize that we cannot accomplish economic vitality without you, And so when you come to us as partners, we're there for you, just as you've always been there for us. So we really, really appreciate the partnership. Now, specifically, we want to thank you for the work you did and the partnering you did with us on the Dane Foss expansion. We worked hand in hand, and it worked out beautifully for the community. And hopefully, as we both continue to service, that customer, we are going to see future expansion opportunities. Is that right, Paul? we also want to thank you for your support of the transformative Airport Gateway project. You were very, very instrumental in bringing the Innovation Park community together to support that effort. Again, just a fantastic demonstration of how well we can work together. The next steps relative to that project, just so you will know, is that an implementation plan will be brought forward by Blueprint at the next Blueprint IA meeting. If you've got any questions or want to be plugged in on additional information, we'll be sure to connect you with Blueprint so you can stay in tune.
So Al, when is that projected to be, the next IA meeting?
June 21st.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
And to pop in real quick, they're planning a workshop right immediately preceding the board meeting.
Okay.
Where I think that implementation plan will be discussed in greater detail.
Okay, great.
And that is for all of the infrastructure projects. Of course, this is high on the list,
right,
on the ranking list, but yes.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just speak real high level for a minute, and then I'll have some additional comments, and then I'll turn it over to Lindsay to talk about a few things. But speaking in terms of economic job and growth, job and industry growth, 2018 is off to a terrific start. One of the most encouraging pieces of news is that business survey after business survey indicates that corporate investment capital spending is up. And so we expect, that tells us that there will be more projects for us to go out and fill our pipeline. So again, underscoring partnership opportunities, there are more opportunities in the future for corporate expansions, corporate relocations, so we can all be excited about that. One of the ways that we are specifically focused on encouraging those opportunities here to us in Tallahassee-Leon County is through our Magnetic Technologies Task Force. And I just want to bring you up to date on a couple of items there. We have a position announcement for a Applied Science Business Manager. That manager is going to work specifically on recruitment opportunities, company analyses to support our lead generation activities relative to the magnetic goals of the Magnetic Technology Task Force, which is to build a cluster of businesses that can take advantage of the technologies and research right here at Innovation Park. That person will also work directly with the task force on a day-to-day basis, facilitating their efforts. In addition to that, we have a lead generation platform that was approved at the last IA meeting, where we're going to hire an industry expert recruiter. That industry expert recruiter will have incredible knowledge in the applied sciences fields and technology fields, and have a Rolodex, somebody who's tremendously experienced and has a personal contacts, professional contacts all over the country, and will work to entice those folks to come take a look at our assets with the idea in mind of relocating here to Tallahassee, Leon County, and to Innovation Park. In addition, the last piece of that is that we're going to have a consultant that will be research-based in terms of identifying companies, again, that, you know, can come here and, you know, and be a part of the cluster that we're developing here at Innovation Park. So the next thing I'd like to talk about is the Comprehensive Marketing and Communication Plan.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
On the RFP that you're doing for the outside entity to go do the recruitment.
Yes.
What is the budget for that? Do you know roughly where that's going to be? I'm confused because I've heard different things.
Okay. Well, let me just make it clear. The Applied Science Business Manager that I talked about, that is an internal position to OEV that is going to be reclassed. Okay? So that will be in our existing budget. Then the...
And that's the one that was in the paper today that they're saying is somewhere around $85,000.
$75,000, yes.
It discussed the range.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yes.
So it's going to be in the 75 to 85 range then, expected?
The answer is, quite honestly, that we want the absolute best person for the position. And so, yes, there is a range. And the, you know, if we're not going to let a few dollars stop us from getting an absolutely great
person. Yeah, it's just it was a big range. It was like from $20 an hour to $50 an hour.
Right, yeah. Right, that's, right.
And I'm just wondering, and the only reason I ask is I'm just trying to understand the type of person that you're going after for that position. There's a huge difference.
Yeah, there's a huge difference. There's a lot at stake. You know, the more experience, the more insight, the more... knowledge about applied sciences, about biosciences, about energy, you know, all of that matters, you know, and works to our advantage if we can, you know, find that kind of person.
Okay. What about on the RFP then?
So we've got two components there. One is the industry expert recruiter. And of course, there at this point, we are looking for, again, the best talent available. When we find that person, again, we will do our best to negotiate to, you know, a fair salary that will attract them, you know, to the position. So we've got $200,000 for that position and the consultant that's going to do lead generation for us.
Oh, and the consultant. Okay.
And will they be affiliated? That's all the same.
No, they don't have to be the same. Okay. No.
So that 200, is that per year or over the term of the contract?
The
because it's a 3 year. You're looking for a 3 year contract minimum.
We are looking at the effort is 3 years. We are committed. You know, when we as a the Magnetic Technologies Task Force, they made us, not made us, you know, working with them, we said that any effort that wasn't at least 3 years was not, giving fair opportunity for success. So it's going to be a 3 year effort. We'll review as we go along, the intent, quite honestly, is to see how we do in the first year. And then present a continuing plan to the IA for their consideration.
And Kim has a question or comment.
I just want to make sure that I love the sound of this addition, and I read the paper this morning with great glee that we're going to have somebody actually promoting that which is going on. Right. We seem to wander off from here all the time. Right. I just want to make sure we don't lose the sense of urgency. And if we get too deep in all the decisions that are going to be made, then maybe it takes too long to decide. Mm-hmm. And I know,
right.
Economic development, you're not clawing to get this damn thing done.
Right.
And somebody else will do it.
Right. You got to lose sleep at night trying to get the next deal.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
If I can jump in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Your comments just now mirror exactly the sentiments of the Magnetic Technologies Task Force. They've been excellent partners and encouraging us to pursue this quite aggressively and make sure that we're able and flexible enough to respond to a private industry timeline. So thank you for reinforcing that that is, you know, the sentiment out there. I hope that we're fulfilling that by pushing this through quite aggressively.
And I'm really excited about it. Kristen also has a comment or question.
Comment and then a question. The and you may get to this, Al, so I don't want to jump ahead there, but the target industry report and the incubator study was approved on March 1 at our blueprint meeting, and I was really excited to see how quickly that in the same agenda you all brought back the RFP, the idea for the RFP, and related programs for workforce. Kim Moore is nodding along. So, Kim, to your question before, I see that energy on the staff level as well, that they had this report for a couple months, and when they brought it to us, they had action items in the same agenda that we approved immediately after the target industry study. So it's they're not wasting any time. I had an hour and a half with Ben Pingree this morning. It just happened to dovetail on the same day. And he even talked about the next steps, what they'll be working on up to September beyond what we see right here with this, with the RFP and with the position. So I feel very comfortable that that sentiment has been alive in the task force, but also with staff, and we can see the results. The question then, Al, is making sure that these two positions work. I think the airport still has a recruiter. We now have Michael, and there's other things happening at the universities. So making sure that those folks are working together, and I think that for OUD, there can be a very intentional focus on bringing that group of people who, and now we're going to have a group of them, which is really exciting, with a lot of outside with contacts outside the community, around the country, internationally. So harnessing all of those people at the same time, since we're all investing in it, would be great. And yes, Michael, I'm talking about you, and you're in the room. But we've already seen the impact of your experience and bringing some of those contacts into the conversation. So you think that is something kind of next steps once these people are in place that OEB will be focused on?
Oh, absolutely. I mentioned earlier that our strategic plan calls for us to be collaborative. And we've got leadership that holds us accountable for being collaborative, a la your remarks. So, yes, we will be reaching out to connect with all of the players.
Great.
Okay. Ron Miller has a question, and then Daniel.
Yeah, just wanted to follow up on the other, the 200,000. I'm still not quite clear. Because, again, for the same reason, I'm trying to understand the caliber of what you're going to get based on what you can afford to do. So you've got 200,000 for both the RFP and the consultant, correct?
Yes.
And again, I know you're doing a multiple-year contract. Is that 200 per year, or is that over whatever term you think it's going to be? I'm just trying to understand where you think that's going to go.
That gets us out of the gate. The 200,000 gets us out of the gate, and then we will, when the sales tax proceeds start to flow. We will go back to the IA, present, where we are today, show any progress that we developed, and ask them to continue to support the effort.
So the 200 is the first year's budget?
Yes.
200 is the first year's budget?
Yes. Yeah,
okay, that includes the consultant as well as the staff.
That's correct.
Okay. Dustin?
Yeah. So speaking about that accountability piece, obviously 200,000 for the consultant, also the internal hire. What is success as you all are defining it, right? I mean, obviously, we know generally speaking, we're promoting a specific sector of the community. We know generally speaking that we're looking at companies and recruit. But how do we, sort of from year one to year three and maybe even longer, what do those metrics look like?
Ultimately, the goal is to have a cluster of businesses here. I think right now we get about 2,000 folks visiting the Mag Lab every year. So that's a baseline that we can use to see, whether we've increased that, the number of businesses out here. We've got a baseline, and we'll start to look at, you know, growth in that area, the connections that are made between the universities and research companies or other major research universities around the country. So we've got to establish all of those baselines and then, you know, see how we're moving the needle.
So that's the basis for the group that you essentially choose is, this is where they're going to help us establish, this is where we are, and then if you're
that's,
here,
that's
we're
exactly,
see it.
That's exactly right.
I hope it's got something to do with how many people hear the message about our research at FSU and Canyon, because to me that's where we're missing the boat.
Mm-hmm.
We do these neat things, and nobody ever hears about it outside of like this room and maybe down at the county courthouse or city hall. We've got to become a constant talked about entity,
mm-hmm,
on the social media and all that stuff. And I mean, after reading the last couple of days of newspapers, like, wow, Tallahassee's and the FSU particularly really hot. Things are going.
Well, it's interesting you mention that because that's what I want to segue into next, which is the marketing and communications plan. So our strategic plan also calls for us to do a marketing and communications plan. Following on the targeted industry study, it will be an instrument that helps us maximize the potential associated with that study. But that marketing and communications plan is under development. We expect it to be done by the end of the year. And it is going to outline strategic approaches that we take to reaching the right audience at the right time with the right message. So that is in the works, and that's going to help us get messaging out at the local level, the regional level, national, and the international level. Kim, to your point, We have, and Lindsay can talk more about this when she gets up because she's the point. She's our social media promotion machine. And so we're doing everything we can to take all of the positive stories that come out of the Tallahassee Democrat and all of the things that we're doing at OEB and push them out through social media. We will be augmenting those with additional communications pieces, but we are trying really, really hard to do exactly as you just said, and that's to get the word out. Okay.
Cool.
One quick comment. If everyone's not on OEB's newsletter, I think I got two this week, I would sign up for it. It's a good continuous update on what Lindsay and others, and Lindsay puts that together, it looks great. So just if everyone, I don't know if anyone needs that link, but I think OEB's newsletter will help keep us all in the loop with what you all are doing.
Right. You're the writer, publisher, and editor?
It takes a team.
That's a good answer. So if anybody has questions for me, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I want to bring up Lindsay, but we will not stay. We will let you finish your meeting, and I'm afraid also if we stay, you'll try and steal Lindsay back.
Al, thank you so much. And you are welcome to stay if you'd like, but we welcome Lindsay now, who's back home again. Glad to have you today.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll just put down roots right here. Thanks, Al, for doing that high-level overview. A lot of exciting things have been happening in the community. And a lot more is to come. And I know a lot of that is in credit to the partnership with the people in this room. We can't do it alone, so thank you for leaning in and helping push a few things across the finish line. Some of the exciting things that we have been busy with, one is that target industry study. It's a three-part study. I think all of you are pretty well read in on it, but just in case. One was an economic retrospective piece that helped us bridge the gap between the 2004 study that was done and up to speed today. And that ultimately helped drive what the target industry study
led us to, which is the selection of four industries that make sense for our community to focus on in the next couple of years, probably the next 4 to 5 years. That gave us a really good snapshot of how initiatives from 2004 to present day really helped shape our economy. And that led to the selection, of course, of the Applied Science and Innovation cluster that Al just talked about, and that we're hoping to staff with a little bit more of a robust effort here shortly. Generally speaking, what that looks like is what you're seeing take place right now with the MAG Task Force. It's pulling together the things that are spinning out of the university and making sure that folks who are prototyping, developing, commercializing, researching, that they're staying here. We know that we have world-class facilities, we have world-class people. It just makes sense if we can hang on to them a little bit longer and help their companies scale up here. Also helping existing companies, and Paul Danfoss is a great example, an existing company that integrated new technology. We think there's a lot more opportunity out there, and we'd love to continue sticking the flag in the ground that we're the magnetic capital of the world. But we'd like to expand that as well, knowing that there are a lot of other innovations happening. The other industry is healthcare, which is probably not surprising. We are the regional healthcare mecca, level 2 trauma center at TMH, another pretty big expansion going on there with the Mushton Center. And of course, CRMC continues to spread out a little bit more with some of their regional ER centers. So one of the most exciting things about that cluster really is that it has, hospitals are sort of like a mini city. They employ people from all skill sets, all education levels, and it's really important for us to ensure that we foster that pipeline there. It also presents a really interesting career ladder. It's very easy to go from dipping your toe in the water maybe with, you know, a lower level or entry level nursing position and to continue training to a more professional level if you wish. So that'll be an interesting one to watch for our community and one where we already have a pretty significant leg up regionally. The third piece, and admittedly it took me by surprise, is that manufacturing and transportation logistics was selected. I knew of the major players, the one that we talk about all the time, of course, is Danfoss. We know that we're making some products here. But it wasn't until we went through the exercise of this target industry study and peeled back the top layer of industry codes that we realized how much we're making here. It's pretty incredible. And of course, it's a natural thought process that if you're making things here, you've got to move them. So we're working much more closely with the Blueprint team on this cluster, knowing that we can really leverage the investments that have been made into our infrastructure to really support things that are going on at the airport, make sure that we're paying attention to other needs, whether that's supply chain management or facilities or zoning. There's many layers to that conversation, but really getting that conversation started about what we need to support this industry, help change the perception that Tallahassee may not be the right fit for manufacturing, because we now have evidence that it's a great fit for manufacturing. So hopefully, back to what Al was saying about communications, we'll see a little bit more positive messaging coming out of that. And then the last piece, and again, this is not a surprise to anybody, is professional services and info tech. We've got a lot of really bright talent coming out, especially in the IT area, but with as many professional associations and legal firms here being the state capital, naturally, we do have a lot of business support services here, so we want to be sure that we continue to pull the right talent. We believe that we have a pretty compelling case for building a career here, especially in those areas. There's a lot of opportunity to make pretty big waves in that professional services and IT area. So that's just a very high level of that target industry study analysis. We have copies available on our website, and I'm also happy to email you a copy if you like. And then the third leg of that stool is, of course, the incubator and accelerator analysis, which I believe all of you got a copy of. In a nutshell, it identifies opportunities for us to turn challenges into strengths. And so we've had some really great conversations with folks, Ron especially too, knowing what y'all are planning to get online. with the new incubator, ways that we can help support the ecosystem. It's kind of incredible how much this community has accomplished in the last 5 years in that space. So we're really excited to see what the next 5 could look like. So that's that study in a nutshell. I wanted to give y'all an opportunity, if you want to ask questions about it, to please do so, either now or you can connect with me one-on-one later. You know how to get in touch with me. The other piece I wanted to talk about, too, is a new program that we rolled out, and I have to thank Dustin and Kim, for working with us to get it off the ground. It's part one of what we envision will be a 3-part program under the name the Elevate Florida's Capital for Business Fund. This piece in particular addresses workforce needs. We had the opportunity to work for almost the better part of a year, I would think, mm-hmm. With workforce partners to identify existing programs and opportunities and also gaps. And it allowed us to put our heads together and develop a local response that is not duplicative of other efforts, but that allows entities looking to provide workforce training the opportunity to do so at the local level. We took a couple pointers from other existing programs. The Department of Labor has a really nice model that they did, and also the Florida Job Growth Grant Fund as well had a few interesting pieces that we wanted to mimic. But we wanted to make it a little easier for the local teams on the ground to participate and also to leverage funds they might be getting from somewhere else. So we were putting the finishing touches on that now. It's been approved by our board, by the Blueprint IA board, and we're more than happy as soon as all the T's are dotted and I always say that. T's are crossed and I's are dotted to get a copy in your hands. I know that that's something that all of you have been paying attention to as well in our community.
Lindsay, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Because I haven't been paying as much attention as I would like. So on the Elevate Florida's Workforce, when that comes out, is that going to be how to better train local talent? Is that pretty much it?
That will help address that problem. It's a grant program. And in its first year, we have $100,000 earmarked for that pot. We know that's not enough for it, you know, all of our training needs, but it was a good first year for us to tease it out. It's designed so that an organization can get up to $25,000 a year for a program. We actually reference IO a lot, IO Coding Academy. We're talking about an opportunity where the funds could be used.
So this isn't money to go directly to individuals, at least at this mm-hmm. point. It's to mm-hmm. go to people who are running programs that are doing mm-hmm. workforce training.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Lindsay, correct me if I'm wrong. If there's enough flexibility in the program where you can both be an employer that identifies a workforce issue and apply for grants to address it,
okay.
you can be a training partner, like
exactly.
a TCC yep. who can identify an issue. And then in the process of what you propose, it could be that the training is either free, reduced cost, or you know paid for by blended
yep.
revenue streams,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So
that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why we reference IO as an interesting model to look at. You know, it's a partnership, a 3-way partnership between the Office of the Mayor, FAMU, and DOMI. So
yeah.
There's a lot of support around that program to make sure it's successful. So any other questions about that fund? Okay. The other two pieces to that will come online on a timeline TBD mm-hmm. is a sponsorship program. It just helps us ensure that we are accountable with resources, that public funds are being used to move the needle in the community. So nothing surprising there. We're just building a mechanism for how those funds might be administered in the future. And then a third piece, we're still wrapping our arms around it a little bit, but it's a way to ensure our community is equipped with physical assets it needs to promote innovation. So a lot more to come on that. As soon as those details are ironed out, we'll be sure to keep you in the loop on that as well. One of the last things that I wanted to talk about is a recent spinoff program, if you will, from the ACE 8 tour.
Mm-hmm.
I say this all the time, that the benefits from being a host community continue to pay off. Everything from our WhatsApp you know, communications with participants saying, I have to get my hands on more Lucky Goat coffee. Can you export that today? just to being in the loop about where, you know, people's career travels are taking them and what connections that might mean for Tallahassee Leon County in the future. We've had a really strong relationship with EDA as a result of being a host community. I know Commissioner Dozier is in constant contact with EDA as well, and we've had the opportunity to partner with the Department of Commerce's International Trade Administration to host one of their reps in our office for 2 days every other month to help connect businesses to resources they need if they're thinking about or maybe unsure if they should begin importing or exporting opportunities. This is a really important opportunity for us in terms of, you know, foreign direct investment, you know, creating a more robust bottom line for some of our local businesses. Exporting can seem really scary if you just don't know where to go, who to talk to, what to say. And the program that they have in place is designed to make that quite easy. So if you know of anybody that would like to connect with Jorge, is his name, Jorge Arce, he'll be back in our community in May, and we'd love to set up an appointment for anybody in your network that's interested to learn more. Or if you would like to learn more, of course, that's an open invitation as well. Just let us know, and we'll make sure that we get you connected.
Can I say something Lindsay is not going to say right now, and that goes to your question earlier about the urgency, Kim? So Jorge was one of the people that from Commerce, OAS, others, we have all of these really critical assets and connections that are brought with the ACE tour. It's not just the delegation, but that was part of the impact that I saw on ACE when I went to almost 3 years ago. Lindsay's been on ACE, others. So Jorge is there. He's talking to myself, Ben, a few others, and saying, I meet with communities every other month. I've never gotten a call from Tallahassee or Leon. So one, that is where we were in the past, that this was an asset we didn't even know existed, an offer. They jumped on it so fast, and I had to make a comment during the OEB update at Blueprint because it was kind of buried in the language and in the update, but this is huge. And so just to that urgency point, you all jumped on this, you saw the opportunity, and immediately got, you know, established this as a program. It's an incredible resource. So thank you all for doing that. But this is the kind of thing that is the direct action coming out of each one of these experiences or new studies or anything else we have. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, we've got a lot of great stuff happening. And the final piece is in reference to the flyer in front of you. It's the Ready Business Workshop. A huge thanks to Denise. She's been helping me promote this. OEB's been teaming up with Leon County to make sure area businesses are equipped with resources they need because hurricane season, sadly, is quickly approaching. And we've had a couple scary years. And if meteorologists are right, we've got a few more in this cycle that we'll need to pay attention to. So Leon County has... In case you haven't come across this in the news, they've been designated as the first hurricane strong community in the United States, which is a pretty big honor. And so they rallied the troops at FEMA and Flash to offer a one-day workshop. It's completely free. It includes lunch to make sure that businesses are able to identify their risk, put together a plan, know what to do afterward, and we're really excited about this. It's a staggering statistic, and you probably all know this, that 75% of businesses impacted by a hurricane will not reopen their doors. And a lot of those are small businesses, simply because they're so busy making their business successful that this is one thing that's easy to put on the back burner. But this will be a really nice tool to keep in any business's toolbox. I mean, if you're a virtual business, it could be as easy as knowing where to plug in your phone to make sure you're checking in on your clients. But if you're a brick-and-mortar operation, it would be good to know, you know, how do I keep people on my payroll? What resources are available? And Keith, our fearless leader, Keith, has decided or has agreed to help and be on the agenda on this day to talk about his efforts with the small business disaster loans. Did I get that disaster recovery loan? So we're really excited to pull in some local resources with some national speakers from FEMA. And I just invite you to share that with everyone in your network. We'd love to get as many people there as possible to make sure that we're a resilient community. So
I can't say enough about the importance of this. I served for a couple of years during Ivan and Dennis over in Pensacola and saw the devastation that hit Pensacola, literally walls falling off the hospitals, and the bridges closed, a truck hanging off the interstate, unbelievable thing. One of the things I did came back and the next year, I assembled my direct reports one morning and said, turn off your cell phones, get in these two cars. We drove them to our remote operations center in Mariana, which was our designated place if our building was destroyed. I told them, okay, now write down on a pad for the next 45 minutes what you should have brought with you. We had peel away cans of peaches and pears and peanut butter crackers and Gatorade for lunch. But it gave everybody a quick understanding of, boy, I wished I had this, I wished I had that, how do I get a hold of this, whatever. So I highly recommend. Governor Bush used to do an annual hurricane deal down in Fort Lauderdale. Do they still do that? The governors?
At the state level, they do.
They do.
They still do that at the state level?
Annual hurricane conference.
Yeah, okay. That was attended by people from all over the nation, and they had vendors bring in all sorts of stuff. A great resource. If you all don't know about that, maybe somebody should attend that one and just get some ideas for ours next year.
Great idea.
But a really good one.
And I know the Mag Lab last year had planned on doing what they call a tabletop exercise. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but unfortunately, I think it was planned like for the week of the actual hurricane. So I don't know if they ever actually have to do that. But
I'd encourage you just to call your direct reports in one day, turn off all their cell phones, and ask them what they'd do next.
The after-action reports written by our staff and moving emergency management back to the county from the sheriff's department, this Hurricane Strong, I mean, it sounds, there's a lot of designations like this that happened, but this is significant. So we are on the radar of FEMA, of others who know that we've gotten ahead of the curve, ahead of a lot of other communities in assessing where we are and then implementing over 100 different action items after Irma and Hermine. So this is one of those steps that is really, but it's drawn in all the other partners. So they are, I mean, our folks are presenting at conferences in different places. So that's pretty significant, but they're learning all the time.
I learned three things. If you don't have water, you don't have fuel, and if you don't have communications, you're dead to water. Any one of those three fall out, you're just hurting. You can live a day or two without food.
Sure.
You got to have that water. You got to have that fuel. And we had the satellite telephones that bounce off the satellite and back down. And those were really good. Took a little bit of time to figure them out, but they were good. Thank you.
Thank
Any
you.
Questions? Lindsay, she's done an excellent job, as always.
I just want to say, I mean, this, I can hardly catch my breath. I mean, there's so much going on, and it's just great to hear.
Thank you. We really appreciate your support. It's a team sport, definitely. Mm-hmm. We can't do it without you, so thank you.
And one last point. We regularly talk to your staff, so we're in close communication. So you can feel good about, you know, information, the exchange of information going back and forth between the two groups.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. It feels funny to be referred to as a staff.
Because we actually have staff now.
Yeah, you were here as a two-member team, weren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, now we're a four-member team, so we continue to grow. Yeah.
And I noticed that Al admitted that they stole them.
Yeah. Well, that's progress.
Let's
yeah.
be fair.
Yeah.
We're lucky to have Denise and Lindsay working. That's good.
We were hoping for a finder's fee, too, but we didn't get it.
Sales tax money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we write that down?
Okay, we got it.
If you all would like now to welcome to our floor, I think this is the first board meeting that our new director of entrepreneurship, Michael Tenaski.
I think we jumped a few items there.
Yeah, I know. I'm moving around a little bit. I want to move up.
All right.
Let me seriously look by the list.
Chairs for us.
Yeah, just don't anybody leave. Right. Leave us without a quorum because we've got a few votes left. That's why I like to get all the business done up front.
My apologies for being late. I had a little client crisis that, you know.
Oh, your day job got away.
My day job, yeah.
Michael, you have the floor, sir.
Well, before he takes the floor, some of you haven't met him yet, have you?
Well, that's why we were going to pull him up. Yeah, why don't you make the introduction?
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Well, we are so fortunate to have Michael. And I compliment Ron on doing all the proper research and all the evaluations and identifying pretty early on this guy. This guy, you know, you stack him. This group goes to waste can, this group is in the maybe, this group is in the top. Mm-hmm. Then there was Michael out here. Now, we didn't tell him he was that impressive until he signed and shook a hand and all, but give us a little introduction.
Well, just so you know, because it has been a few months since we actually met, the process actually started, I think, in November when we started putting it out there, and then by December, I put together a group of folks. Lawrence Tinker, who many of you may know from the Florida Institute for the Commercialization of Public Research, and Wendy Plant, who is with the Jim Moran School of Entrepreneurship, to help me with the final selection. We got it down to three candidates that actually had, you know, real business incubation experience in particular. And as Dave said, when we got to the interview process, what really stood out with Michael is that his experience is really focused on tech commercialization. He's got a lot of other broad experience, but he's done the tech commercialization piece. He worked for Rensselaer Polytech Institute in New York in the tech commercialization area. He understands the high tech. He understands the science. And by the way, he also has the business background, both from running his own business and businesses. And he also has, unfortunately, an accounting and MBA background like some other folks, and so you got another one of those. But he understands the what it takes to go get grant money. He's successfully received EDA grant funding. He's already established a relationship with Greg Vidae at EDA, so he knows how to do those things. It was very evident in the interview process that he brought all of that skill set with him. But the sort of the unexpected bonus that we got was really sort of his network. This is not just about what we're going to do locally. He's really kind of opened our eyes to the possibility that we can reach outside of Tallahassee to bring folks here to commercialize technology that's developed here. So those are things, I mean, that's just a kind of a new twist, because I think in the past we've really focused on, you know, how to develop entrepreneurs here for technology that's here. So it's just another twist. And I don't want to steal all of his thunder, but just to let you know that we were very, very fortunate to get Michael to come here, and he has really immersed himself in the community in a very short period of time. His first day of work was January 29th. He has met with so many people in the community, you make your head spin. I think it took me a few years to get there. But he is ready to launch. So without any further ado, Michael Tenaski.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. I'm going to stand up because everyone else did. So.
Can you say your last name twice?
Tenaski.
So there's no R. Tenaski.
Yeah, you can say anything you'd like.
Well, I like to be
Michael
close.
Works good. It's a mouthful.
So I really appreciate the comments, and I'm really happy to be in Tallahassee, and the love fest continues, because what I saw when I got here is a very welcoming group, and everyone's very, very collaborative, and that's quite helpful when you're trying to establish yourself in a new community. And in 2 months, I've produced a report that's also up here, but I think you have it in your packets. I've really been around the block in this 2 months and talked to a lot of folks and did what I said I was going to do for the first 90 days that I was here when I was interviewed by Dave and others. That said that. What are you going to do the first 90 days? Well, this is 60 of those days, and I think we're probably finished with what I had said during the interview process. And I won't read through it. Just let you know that I met with all of the stakeholders that are really invested in the success of the Innovation Park. And so the first part is assessing the regional assets that already exist, and then talk to our partners. There's some community engagement. It seems like now, since I'm the new guy, I can't say no, so I'm judging competitions. Coming up Friday, tomorrow, is the statewide Governor's Cup competition, business plan competition, and I'll be participating in that. So I was very pleased to be asked to do these sort of things, which kind of solidifies that collaborative effort. And so that's very nice to be welcomed that quickly into a community, and much appreciated. What I do want to focus on, though, is a couple of the programs. So what I looked for when I got here is, gee, what's missing that I could bring into the community that might make an immediate impact? And one of the first things that I saw is we haven't had an SBIR, PPR program, from what I can gather, in about 2 years. And there's a group out of Pensacola, which makes sense because the military is over there, that used to come to Tallahassee and do programs on SBIRs, TTRs. For those of you that don't know, SBIR is a Small Business Innovation Research, and STTR is a Small Business Tech Transfer programs. And they're administered by SBA at the local levels to give scientists and engineers their first cash infusion. It's really the largest federal source of funding for proving your concept. So I said, you got to be kidding. We have a mag lab, we have universities, they should be getting all of this SBIR, STTR training. But it turns out the group out of Pensacola was a for-profit group charging $300 for this kind of dissemination of information. Although you can go on SBA's website and get it all yourself, that's like reading the tax code, right? So I took it and turned it into programs that I've done in other places, and then freshened it up and made sure everything's relevant. And now we have an SBIR STTR program. It'll be a workshop, if you will, in collaboration with FSU, excuse me, that will include their tech transfer office during that. It'll be happening in early May. And so we're going to do that at least twice a year, and I would like to do it once a quarter because, again, it's the major funding source for all technical activities that are taking place in the scientific, engineering, and technological fields. So we should be promoting that all the time. Another one is government contracting basis. If you've never won one of these awards, there's a lot to it. It's not as easy, I'm making it out to sound. I go through all the details. There's a lot of compliance issues. So I've got this one completed as well. SBA 8A program is probably your best resource, is sitting right here at the table. But I also talk about those programs because a lot of people don't know about those programs. And when they're doing SBIRs and STTRs, if you have, you get preferential points if you're part of an 8A program and a hub zone program. And I don't know how many of you know, because interestingly enough, when I went through my list of collaborators, nobody knew, with one exception maybe, Kristen, that we're in a hub zone. And a hub zone is again, another preferential point system when you're applying for these federal opportunities, and that's another 10%. So the opportunities go up to 90% when you're ranked. So you get 10% for SBA 8A, you get 10% or 9 more points for hub zone. All of a sudden, if you're scoring in the low 60s, on one of these federal grants, you're now in the low 80s. And I haven't seen an SBIR or STTR that scored above 80 that didn't get funded. So automatically, these two programs should elevate the number of dollars that come into this this area. And then I'm doing a couple things that I've done in the past. Ron mentioned accounting background. I've talked about accounting for non-accountants for years. I just had a conversation with an engineering class last night, Dr. Devine's class. They had none of this accounting, which is fine. I'm not teaching accounting. I just want to know that they know the basics, like break-even analysis, which, by the way, 28 students never heard of. And that's how you determine how to price your product. Anyway, I won't go into my break-even analysis. So those are the programs that, and this has all been accomplished, and again listed here, that we're doing. We also just recently talked about establishing office hours. And again, I'm not trying to step on the toes of SBDCs, but there's technological folks that are asking, where do I go for this information? And I said, well, we have an SBDC. And they say, yeah, okay, what's that and where is it? So maybe that's another promotional opportunity. People don't, from my point of view, being a new guy, people don't realize these resources exist. So this whole building out the continuum is something that's necessary, and a lot of us are doing that to show all the resources. So I'm going to be holding office hours for some of the folks that I'm dealing with individually in the entrepreneurial community. And then Ron talked about grants. I'll be meeting with Greg Bidet on the 17th, and I've written a couple and received a couple of EDA grants for building out incubation facilities in the past. And so we'll be discussing how we might be able to fund a couple of the projects that, you're familiar with. We're building out the Collins Building, which is a 25,000 square foot facility, to rehab it for incubation, but then building a brand new 40,000 square foot facility, state of the art, if you will, that'll have wet labs, dry labs, office space, and all of the conferencing areas that it takes for companies to accelerate their growth.
Michael, what was the name you just said, the person you're going to meet with?
Greg Bidet.
Greg Bidet. I'm not remembering who that is.
He's our regional representative based in
Atlanta.
That's
right. Got it.
And he's been here a couple times, toured the Mag Lab and other facilities, and he's a FSU grad.
Right.
And because I was in the Washington area, I also am familiar with quite a few folks at the EDA proper, all the way at the highest level, and I'm working through Greg, obviously, to follow the chain of command, but there's some relationships there that I can also leverage. And then for grants and sponsorships, you see a couple of more here, and again, I won't bore you with details, but it's an effort now to get money flowing so that we can really initiate not only the building, but all the other programmatic services that we're thinking about providing. And then there's a little stuff on entrepreneurial engagement. Wanted to go to future programs and thank you, Ron. This is a nice switch of duties here.
Sorry.
I want to thank my staff. So future programs thing, and I may have mentioned this before, but I've done these things before. Tech Vets is a program for returning veterans that are looking to segue out of the military into the technological fields. So I do a program called Tech Vets, then Perfect Pitch, which is pretty much prepping folks for talks with venture capitalists or angels. And then something that I probably shouldn't talk about, but I threw it up there anyway, which is the Florida Investment Network. If you want to ask me about it later, I'll be happy to talk to you individually about it. But back in Montana, I won't tell stories, but back in Montana when I was still in college, we created a matchmaking program, software program in 1993 on Lotus 123 and Wang Computer. That had all the people hiding in the hills that were rich in Montana that didn't want to be identified, so people didn't line up outside their doors, with all the entrepreneurs seeking, not all because it's Montana, the couple of entrepreneurs that were seeking funding, and it simply matched them. And then we stepped away and they made their deals. I think it would be a great program here. I've seen some other efforts here, and I'm trying to figure out if we could differentiate it before I move forward. And then Tech Picks, which I'm working with the name, I don't know if I like it, but I spoke with a couple of the folks at FSU FAMU and talking about putting a board, sort of a billboard, kind of like our screen here, a scrolling board of maybe the top five technologies from the higher education institutions and labs, and then maybe hosting and scrolling it with the applications, not just the technologies, but what's it used for, and then hosting a pick your next business day. And again, somebody mentioned some out-of-town contacts. I probably know I could think of a dozen serial entrepreneurs right now that also have a little silver going on at the top, and they're ready to leave the Washington area or New York or Baltimore or Boston, and they're going to come down to Florida anyway and retire. Well, guess what? They're serial entrepreneurs, and if we have a great technology and they've already done it, bring them into town and try to get them to pick their next business based on some preliminary screening of the technologies that are out there. And because I've done it in the past, I'm not trying to take over what the tech transfer offices do, but I tend to think a little divergently than most others, and I can think of other applications. One quick example is a blow-up kind of mine, bulldozer they used out in the deserts. We turned it into a chili harvester in New Mexico that now harvests hatched chili peppers out in New Mexico just by manipulating some of the springs, and it's all engineering. But anyway, that's just an example. Who would have ever thought of chili harvesting for a mine finder, right? So those are some of the things that I'm doing, and then This is just a little recap of the two efforts we'll be doing with the Collins building and the new 40,000 square foot building. I tend to talk really fast because I drink coffee, I suppose. But if I'm too fast for y'all, just let me know. I'm happy to slow down. I'm happy to answer any questions. I just didn't want to bog you down in detail since you have it in front of you in your package.
Questions of Michael.
Fast and board meetings.
Yeah, fast right. Is good.
Kim.
An expected start date for Tech Vets, or is it just sort of just coming together?
I think because of the priorities and funding and collaboration and programmatic services, it might be a little while, but I'm thinking for sure, when I say a little while, I tend to move fast. I'm thinking fall, because every time I mention it, people are saying,
hey. There are a number of really good programs going on right now to partner well with it.
And that's what I'm finding out, and they're saying, hey, we need this. Mm-hmm. And I would give you examples, again, we could talk offline, but I could give you examples in the Fort Meade area where I had an incubator as well, where this really took off. We started off with just a little gathering, an evening social hour, and after the first meeting, companies and potential employees found each other immediately, and it blossomed from there. And that's the intent of the Tech Vets. Let them know about the skills, because a lot of times people don't see that they're transferable. Because if you're doing weapons or something, what do you do in the commercial market space? Well, you've got everything that you're all aware of if you've been in the military, discipline, and you're on time, and you understand directions, and you've got a lot of very adaptable skills.
Other questions of Michael? Comments?
On the Florida Investment Network, I assume that you're familiar with Nexus and what's going on with that. And, you know, I would just say, while we're looking at new programs and creating new entities, sometimes the best benefit can be helping to lift other programs rather than creating separate
Absolutely
ones.
Agree. And what I found, though, and I subscribe to all of the angel networks now in the region, mm-hmm. and every day my inbox is full of opportunities, and they give mm-hmm. a little short paragraph of the opportunity and the funds they're looking for. That's not what this one's about. This is saying, you have an interest. We don't know who that person is. It's all anonymous, because you don't want to be identified as the rich one in town, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you do. And then all the entrepreneurs, they blindly come in and say, is there a match? If so, you step back, you connect, and you act as a liaison, say, you know, I've gone through the screen, this one looks great, and then let them do their thing. So it really isn't, here's an opportunity. It's more anonymous. That's what I'm trying to do, because what we found in Montana is nobody knew any of the rich people, because they all hid up in their ranches, except for Ted Turner, and they all hid everywhere. As soon as we put this program up, they came out of the woodwork. They were everywhere.
And that's the challenge that Florida Angel Nexus is having, I think, is trying to attract those folks to come to meetings.
Right.
So there's no meetings, right? It's all done online, and it's all done either, initially, there's more to it, obviously, but initially it's all done electronically, so, and we promise anonymity, and so there you go. More questions?
I was just going to try. I'm going to keep bringing this up, so I hope no one talks, but regionally, that's, you know, a key point. We're doing so much here, but we got to think regionally. Mm-hmm. Thought about this with the distribution that Lindsay mentioned, mm-hmm. The tech center. Appalachian Regional Planning Council just established a freight logistics zone from Port St. Joe through to Gadsden. These types of things will dovetail, but this piece also is very regional. Mm-hmm. And so there are other things we've been learning. Others of us have been learning that I just wanted to, that hearing Michael's description, I encourage any of you to have a conversation with him, learn more about it. These are things that we don't have locally and that I haven't heard suggested before. Mm-hmm. So it is really exciting. And I'll also say for someone, and Ron, you mentioned this, the 60 days, we had an hour meeting that was maybe 2.5 hours, right? Because we liked to.
My meter ran out.
Yeah. We had you've got a great handle on what's going on locally. So I just to give, you did go through it fast. There's so much more you could have said, but I had a lot of comfort, and I think any of you would, doing a deeper dive, that we're not duplicating or partnering,
right?
But looking for new opportunities.
Plus, ours is cutesy. I could turn that fin into a fish shape. And then it's the tagline is "Come swim with the big fish."
So, I think Ron does a great job of keeping us all pointed in the right direction. But is there anything that you need from us as board members, as a board, that you're not getting?
Oh no, no, that's a great question, and the only reason that that hasn't come up is this is our first meeting, right? And you're meeting
me.
But that's a great question because, yes, usually what I do when I was Ron is I would require that our board members brought us so many prospects per month. So that's one thing I can't command because this is the guy that runs the board. That's the guy that runs the board. That's his position. All right, so that's one thing. The other thing is this awareness campaign that we're all talking about, just keep reinforcing that maybe we're not so much, and this is me speaking, not for anyone else, that we're so much LCRDA, we're Innovation Park, we're Innovation Park, we're Innovation Park, we're Innovation Park, where innovation happens. In fact, I'm even being so bold to suggest that the Gateway Project or the Airport Gateway is Innovation Parkway. I just think that's...
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I liked it too. Yeah. Because it's it focuses innovation. And quite frankly, nobody has an Innovation Parkway. Silicon Valley, Austin, Boston, nobody has that. They all have their own thing, but they don't have Innovation Parkway. And we don't have an interstate 20.
Let's talk about that a minute. How does that get pushed forward?
Okay. Can I?
Did I mess up?
No, you did not mess up. I was holding back on this because you said you were going to start talking. So you dropped it, Sunshine Meeting. This is great. We got reps. So I have mentioned this to two people. That would be the county administrator and Mr. Ben Pingree, and they both loved it. So already started a conversation about how this could happen. I do think if this board were to endorse the idea, I thought this was fabulous, and FAMU and FSU were to endorse the idea as well as a partnership. I mean, this it is significant, and we could tee it up for the June blueprint meeting. And it would be great coming from the partners. So that would be my suggestion right now. If we like this, if we want to reach out to our partners and tee this up, I think it could happen very soon. And it's perfect timing for what you heard Al and Lindsay say, that workshop on the implementation plan. I mean, it's a name change for this area, but the time is now.
Who owns the naming rights?
Well,
the funding source.
Yeah, the evolution here.
Oh, yes.
It was named Gateway, and this has come up in all the discussion in recent years because that's what was in the sales tax committee discussion, Kim, way back in 2012 up to the referendum in 14. Then it's expanded. No, I mean that was how staff presented it because it was Spring Hill to the gate or to the airport and all of that and Lake Bradford. We didn't have this kind of conversation in 2012 first, didn't have the partnership, the MOU was new, so that no one's locked into that name. In fact, I would say South Lake Bradford would love to have something other than Gateway.
Yeah.
So it may be good in the long term, but certainly the new road, which benefits all of us, I don't see the neighborhoods having a problem with it. I think the time is perfect for what we just went through, and June is the perfect meeting. But again, if it came from the three partners, the Innovation Park, FAMU, and FSU, that would be incredible strength, and it can go directly to county administrator, city manager, and Ben Pingree, and we can tee it up at board meeting as well. So that would be my suggestion. Does that help?
Yeah, I just want to also clarify for the folks in the room here, is that Innovation Parkway could actually end where Stuckey meets Spring Hill, and then FAMU Way gets their FAMU Way, and then FSU gets their whoever's going to pay for the naming rights, and so it could branch out from there, because again, I want to be all inclusive, I don't want to be exclusive and build my own little ivory tower, or silo. I think that's the way to do it. So you have a hydra at the end that goes to TCC. So it's the innovation way that goes to the higher education district that includes FAMUA, FSU, whatever, TCC. So that's what I'm proposing. Yeah. I just want to be clear because I don't want to be exclusive. Yeah. And Eric, I just think it would be a way to brand us, right?
Eric, your comments.
Sounds like a good idea. I will talk to the powers that be.
Okay.
Hey, thanks.
All right. My comment
is just the other thing for today. If we could be really aggressive about getting this done
timing
now, that would be fabulous.
Is Ben the person to start with?
I think Ben was excited about the opportunity in talking to. I mean, for Ben and the administrator and Vince, it would need a board member to suggest it. So that's why I was kind of talking to them. I think the strength actually comes if we talk with FAMU and FSU first, and for the three groups to, and it could be Office of Research, it could also be Kevin Graham's shop, Lupin, Shante, and the president for FAMU, and if it was formal endorsement, that's great. If it was just, we've had these discussions, we're interested in this, then yes, I think letting Ben know in a conversation would be good, but if it's a formal endorsement, it could go to city manager, county administrator, and Ben.
Yeah. Let me ask Eric for comments.
No, I think it's a very good way to discriminate things. It's something new and fresh, and it's actually good because it's kind of the truth.
Yeah.
It's always helpful.
Yes.
Keith, your comments.
I don't want to get ahead of President Robinson, and then, you know, with this being the first mentioning of this, I don't think. Well, one, I do think that FAMU has been anticipating the full access and everything to be built out on FAMU Way. I don't know if and it's approaching. It's not there quite yet, but again, I wouldn't purport to represent President Robinson at this time.
Kimberly?
Actually, we met, and he introduced the idea of the Innovation Parkway. Of course, I like innovation. So I did share it with the president, Dr. Murdaugh, as well. He wanted more information about that, more than just the name. So I said, okay, I get it. So that's kind of
are we at a point that we should ask our executive director to draft a resolution that this board would be prepared to support? And maybe we send out, can we send this out electronically and get a vote back? Cannot do that. Can we draw a resolution and ask that this board give the executive committee approval to agree to that adoption and move forward with it?
For clarity, are we talking, where would it begin and end? What is our proposal on that?
If you're looking at
me. Yeah, I think.
He doesn't even know where that is.
Right. You just came up with the name. I love it.
I think that, and to your point, Keith, I had a meeting with President Robinson this week on lots of different issues, just a catch-up meeting with him from Blueprint to Extension to Innovation Park. We had a good conversation. And when we talked about it, Michael, really the piece that goes from Orange to Lake Bradford,
that's the one
section. Now, the question would be Orange Avenue and South Lake Bradford. I'm not sure as much or how easy it would be to change those names.
I'm not even talking about that.
Right. So from Orange Avenue, where the golf course is,
where bowls out the yellow.
The new road and the improvements on Stuckey, that would be the suggestion, I think, to start with. And it would terminate then right where FAMUA came in, Keith, to your point. And President Robinson he suggested that road is going to help engineering and others, that, you know, he was excited about that, but he was focused on other blueprint projects around the university. So that was really his dominant focus.
You could have an overlay of Orange Avenue and Innovation Parkway on the same road, that one section.
And so it might be where we want to stage it.
All the way to Pennyway.
Suggest that at least from Lake Bradford to Orange Avenue on Stuckey and the new road, that be the parkway, and suggest a conversation by the Blueprint Board to expand the parkway name in other areas.
Yeah.
That's kind of the, it doesn't get into those questions we don't know. It's a state road, it's kind of all that kind of stuff, right?
We'll solve it now.
Yeah.
Thank you for liking the idea.
But the direction then would be, I think to your point, Dave, we could suggest Ron reach out to our counterparts, have a conversation with Ben, and it could be a formal suggestion to the presidents of three universities if we want to take that next step, executive committee. But Blueprint meets on June 21st, which is before, we have a meeting on June 7th, a board meeting. So we could come to the executive committee, or we could come back to this meeting for a final vote on June 7th, 2 weeks before. Does that work?
Yeah. Let's ask for a motion to give our executive director the direction to prepare for our consideration a resolution regarding the naming of the former project called Gateway.
Well, if we're going to bring it back, if I'm going to bring it back to you for a vote, I don't think we really need a resolution.
Just
I have
give
the
you the direction.
I have the direction I need.
To work on the issue, yeah.
So recorded. Okay. Good report, Michael. Thank you for
sir.
The leadership. Please don't hesitate to keep running. We like the pace that you started out. We encourage you to continue that.
Thank
and Ron,
you.
Thank you again for your diligent recognition, identification of our newest employee.
And thank you.
Another one too.
And thanks to the board for allowing me to hire more people.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is Magnetic South.
Magnetic South. Okay. All right. Well, we heard
like
Magnetic
it.
Coast. We've heard a lot of different
like
things. Okay, let's back up a little bit and do the landscaping survey or service agreement that was up for consideration this year. We went through all the different interviews and so on. Ron, give us a report on
that.
Yeah,
I apologize for putting this kind of business on there, but we couldn't get it done in time for executive committee. So it's very straightforward. Our incumbent is Hines Brothers. They had by far the lowest bid. We did an informal bid in accordance with our purchasing policy. As you can see on the price proposal here, it's on the screen, it wasn't close. So when you look at the three-year cost, by far a lot less. So my recommendation is that we approve that contract and award to Hines.
You hear a recommendation? Is there any discussion regarding the recommendation and the contract itself? Or the vendor that will provide it. I think we've been happy with the service he's been rendering
yes.
and been successful with that. Is there a motion to approve
the
agreement?
Move approval, Mr. Chair.
And second to it.
Second.
Any further? Those in favor signify saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed by like sign, motion carries. Now an update on the Bing bankruptcy.
Yeah, actually this is an item to correct an error that was made back in October. We failed to remind Mr. Williams that he had a conflict of interest when he voted on the consent agenda item that included the Bing bankruptcy. So to correct this error, we're asking the board to reapprove the consent agenda item from October 5th, which is restated on this current agenda. And before we do this, before we do this, we need Kim's formal recusal from voting on this item.
I'll recuse myself.
Because.
There we go.
Do you have the form?
He's right to it.
Can he just read the? Can he just read the form?
You don't read the form.
Just
the mouthful.
For the record.
Oh, sorry. This is one of those very important steps you all must follow.
Ron, do you know what the buffalo said to his son when he went away to college?
I'm afraid to ask.
Bye, son.
It was right there.
I am an investor in Bing Energy. Wasn't a real great investment. At the LCRDA Board of Governors meeting held on October the 5th, 2017, I voted in favor of approving item 6, the consent agenda, which included as item 6F, the ratification of LCRDA Chair's approval of the ballot accepting Bing Energy's second amended plan, maybe even right, of farmers bankruptcy or reorganization dated August the 15th, 2017, I erred in not recusing myself from that vote. And April 5th, I need to read that too. 2018 LCRDA Board of Governors meeting, the Board of Governors reconsidered the ratification of LCRDA's chair's approval of the ballot accepting Bing Energy's second amended plan of bankruptcy reorganization dated August 15th, 2017. I recused myself from the April 5th, 2018 discussion and vote.
You wrote that very well. I'm proud of you.
And
okay.
We're just trying to keep y'all out of trouble.
Yes.
That's our job.
That's so. The direction we're headed, and I think we need a vote on this.
Yes.
Is there a motion to accept the amendment?
So moved.
Second. And seconded. Any further discussion? All right. Hearing none, vote. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed by like sign.
Myself.
All in favor except one recruit. Okay, let's move on now to the chair's report. Quickly, just a couple of comments that we need to be thinking about and giving consideration to. One is the board composition. Do we satisfy ourselves that we are appropriately numbered? Do we think in terms of would two more fit in a room? I don't know that they would, but should they be considered if they have the right people and the right purpose and right place? And
just raise your hand. Is everybody here?
Yeah, no, not everybody's here. Who's missing?
We do have everyone represented.
Well, we actually do. This might be the first time in a long time. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I should probably just let you know that when the elections come up next time, I am going to probably just ask to step down. I'm way over, I'm spread out way too thin these days, and so you'll be opening up one spot.
As of September 30th.
Okay. Well, I guess I have to say I regret that, but I understand. paychecks come pretty important in our lives. Employers' positions that they take.
United Way campaign coming up this year and next. So
thank you for doing
that. But as they said, it's balance kind of important.
But I like what's going on here because I can see a lot of interesting partnerships for strategic planning right now.
Yeah. Well, a number of us in the room have had a chance to work on those United Way programs. I served as chair myself 1 year. One of the few years we hit $5 million, so you now have a goal.
Ooh, that's thanks so much for that.
Sorry.
We acknowledge your need to do that. We thank you for the role you have played. We know there's still about 6 more months to go, so you still expect to be here every single meeting.
I
want to
know what's going on.
I would say that my preference would be to keep the committee this size because it's just the board this size. It's, you add to it, it may be harder to get quorums. This is a dedicated group.
We certainly like the odd number. It helps with the quorums and it helps with voting and some of those other things. I think Kristen was the last person who changed the number on the board and it was the right decision at the time. We went from maybe 11 to 13 or something like that.
9 to 11.
9 to 11.
It's county ordinance, so we had 4 private sector and 5 public sector appointments. So if you'll remember, we wanted more private sector. Better pipeline for leadership. I wouldn't say the room size needs to be our decision point because we may have
I think it's really the group size.
But it's the group size, so focus on that. But it would be a suggestion to the county to change the ordinance should the board want to do that. But that's, we're at 11 now, so we have a majority private sector voices. That was the goal last time we made this change.
Ron, walk us through the nominating process now that's in place with the county.
Well, I mean, before we do that, do we want to talk about the commitments that we have from other folks as far as how many positions we're actually going to have over?
Sure. Remind us then of those positions that expire during the term.
So the three expiring positions are Ann Longman, Dave Ramsey, and Paul Dean. So those expire September 30th. And I have had commitments from all three that they would like to be reappointed. And Mr. Ramsey for a 2-year term to basically to fill out the balance of Kim's position. I've spoken to county staff and just sort of teed that up for them based on the outcome of today's meeting. All of those would have to be formally reappointed, even to fill an existing position that's vacant. So they are still looking to determine whether or not the reappointments have to go through the whole nomination process, but I suspect they do. I don't know that would be a complicated process. It hasn't been in the past, but we will have one definite open position to fill. So they're still going to have to meet to go through the nomination process. I don't have the composition of the nominating committee, but from my recollection, it is the county administrator, the dean of the College of Engineering, the head of the Mag Lab, and I believe the head of OEV now.
Yes.
And the chair of the board.
Unless the chair is up, and then it will go to vice chair.
Yes. So, welcome.
Yeah. And normally that's just one meeting.
Yes.
There's a call for applications administered through the county process. Everyone else can put it out. But as we've done in the past, and with one vacancy, it is good to do some recruitment on our part instead of just relying on the county's typical
absolutely
application.
And that really, we posted. Really got aggressive the last time.
You got a great board.
Yeah. And participated in the nominating committee, which was the first time we'd done that. Mm-hmm. And I think that helped a bunch because the committee listened. You know, they heard what we needed, and so.
Is that a list of persons serving on that committee by statute or by direction?
It's by ordinance.
It is by ordinance.
It's within the county ordinance, okay. And just one other caveat on that: in past years, it wasn't just last time we had the chair of the board with this committee, it was, I think, the first time the committee fully understood where we were, what our needs were, and everything else, because we had you involved. But let's also recognize that now the director of OEV is much more engaged with Innovation Park. The Mag Lab, the engineering school, we've built these partnerships out in recent years, so, and county administrator as well. So this is a different, this group will be different this time, I think, and in the future, in the level of understanding than we've ever seen before. So it is good we have a chairman there, but I think everyone will be working towards the same goal.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, I will also say that if we propose to send Mr. Williams over as our representative, that if there are nominations, that he should know who those might be. And so I will ask that you begin thinking in terms of, are there nominations for a position that might open or will open for sure? And I don't know whether anybody else on the board is still happy to be here or whatever the case. Dustin, I don't know where the position will be as the county government changes. I know that's a position you're in is appointed by, the mayor versus the commission. So that somewhere will have a new mayor one way or the other. And again, congratulations for you wanting to seemingly to want to throw that hat in the ring and to step up and be a representative of our community. So,
actually, Dave, I congratulations as well. None of us have probably seen, but do you know what's going to happen with the? I mean, the mayor can appoint someone within.
There'll be no change. Administration. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, one way or another, after the election, there'll be another administration. So you just sort of have to cross that bridge at that time.
So the mayor's appointee or the county commission appointee could be a staff person or not a community person.
That's right.
There used to be a commissioner once upon a time.
Mm-hmm. I think it's ex officio, isn't it? And it has to be somebody. Well, I don't know.
Yes.
I take that back.
Actually, I do think we need some clarification on this. It's different for city and county.
Oh.
For county, it's a full board appointment, so we elect one of our members to go.
Right.
We could elect a non-commissioner, but we kind of set that tone.
Actually, I think the ordinance does say that there's a county commissioner.
And that's what I was about to say. We could have in the past, but we decided we wanted it to be one of our members to sit on this board. Historically, it's been a mayor's appointment, but I did think when we had that conversation that it was someone within, employed by the city, but I could be wrong.
I'm
not sure.
Back.
Yeah, we
may
need to.
Melissa,
yeah.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I did pull up the bylaws for Innovation Park, which I thought might be helpful. And Leon County Board of County Commissioners resolution says that the number of members appointed is 7, 6 of which are at-large members for 4 years, and then one board member shall be the commission, a member of the commission who shall serve a term of 4 years.
Yeah.
And then under ex officio members, the board also includes the mayor of the city of Tallahassee or the mayor's designee, and then goes on to say the same to the president of FSU and VMU. So it doesn't say that it has to be a city employee.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been a practice.
I think before you, it was Commissioner Zipper.
Nancy Miller,
and then Zipper.
Yeah.
That's right. Miller and then Zipper. Okay.
Yeah, and it does, and the bylaws do go on to define what ex officio means, but I think in that case, in the bylaws, it's in reference to the mayor's position, not the designee's position. So I think you're correct in that the mayor can designate whoever he chooses.
As the three presidents can.
As the three presidents can, yes.
Yeah. And frankly, the county, except for one of the 7, must be a member of the county commission.
Right, and in the ordinance, the other 6 go through the nominating process.
Correct.
So we don't have anyone... We don't function at all like the city or the 3 higher ed folks in that. That there's one person named and the other. Now the 3 presidents are named in statute, so that ties in there as well, I think, or at least 2 presidents. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I've had a request from the county that I wrote a letter to them explaining the preference of the members who want to be reappointed. To get a formal resignation from you and the effective date, and then if you do have any recommendations as far as expanding the board, to let them know that as well. So that's the direction that I'll need from you is to draft that and what your decision is related to the expansion of the board.
I'm not hearing any real enthusiasm for expanding the board. I think we're comfortable with this level.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that it's going to be very important who we get to fill in that blank vote that we'll have.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be thinking in terms of who you would like to nominate. Let's share that with our executive director, and I think we'll be in good shape to then give some direction to our member of that committee that will nominate. Okay?
Ron, what's the deadline?
For?
Sharing with you possible candidate names.
I don't have the exact schedule yet. But if you can give me something in the next 30 days, I think I'm fine. Because it really doesn't have to be approved. If we're not going to expand the board, then we've got a lot more time.
I was thinking more along the lines of your internal deadline that you wanted to do whatever you wanted.
In the next 30 days,
yeah.
Okay.
It's fine. If you have some folks, unless you know of a different schedule, but we've got
time. We have a lot of time.
Okay.
He's good at networking.
If this board ever suggests a change to the ordinance, now or in the future, we have to get it done in advance of the last meeting, which is July, before the 6-7 week break. So that's kind of been our process in the past. So the staff backs up a couple months before that. So that's the request Ron has right now. The nominating committee, Vince normally has called that between the July meeting and maybe August or so, and that's when the county releases the formal application and all of that. A meeting is set sometime in that window. And then it's on the first commission meeting back in probably September. So that's when we know, and then those board members start October 1. So that's that. I mean, I think you're right. Any names to you, so you can start thinking through things and make sure the recruitment is good.
And in the past, I've tried to reach out to the folks mm-hmm. that apply and just let them know the specific needs and the requirements of the job. so that they're not surprised by how many meetings and how long the meetings are and things like that. So, and you know, in particular, what the expectations are as far as becoming an officer and things on that order. So, and I think it's helped in the past since we started doing that.
Definitely.
Other comments? Just a question. Does the county really relish and want to continue to sort of be that in that level that it dictates who the members are? That's the only thing they have to do with us is point this board. And I guess it's sort of a lone event. Now,
well,
I'm kind of the opinion that if I've got something in my hand, I'm a little bit reluctant to let it loose, but what's your thought on that?
The Innovation Park exists as a special district because the county commission exercised state statute to create a research park, and in doing that has to create an ordinance to govern. And there are certain requirements, like having the universities here when we vote on leases new buildings, things of that nature. So there are some things in state statute that dictate this. So it has to go through an ordinance. Now, COCA is an example, something else that was created through an ordinance, Council of Culture and Arts. They recruit people, bring in applications, and then send up to four names or so to us, and the county commission can pick between those, but normally we do it based on their recommendations. That is one thing we've talked about in the past, was asking whether or not we needed the nominating committee to vet those applications, whether we wanted to take in applications and send them up. If I'm remembering correctly, and Ron, you could correct me on this, I think the conversation we had last time we went through this change was, this does give us a little distance, that we don't have staff or have Ron and all of us managing who is on the board, who isn't. We wanted more involvement with the chair being a part of that nominating committee, but if I'm remembering right, that was kind of enough involvement for us and let the county take in applications with us doing some recruitment. So it could be changed, but that ordinance, appointments from the county commission, I think that's the way it has to happen.
Well, it doesn't feel wrong to me. I'm just wondering, sometimes the only process they play with us specifically.
There are some other things that come into play, like in the issuance of debt.
Yeah.
We do report an annual budget to them, but so there's some other.
So we're happy where we are?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. All right.
That's my opinion. Yeah.
And it's improving. So
it is.
This time, before, I think county just appointed people really separate. The park was very different. Now we've got the trails going. You've worked with some of the financial folks, others.
Well, that was for the investment committee. They have a seat on the investment committee. I don't think they vote, but they have a seat.
Yeah.
And I would say that last time when we went through this, it was really easy. What everybody on that committee was interested in was what we wanted to do.
And way back in my early years, there was some conflict going on.
There could be, yeah.
So the commission didn't accept for the recommendation of the nominating committee.
Yeah.
So there was conflicts going. I'm glad it's smoothed out. It feels good. You know, when you run a good shop, you have the credibility of saying, this is what we recommend, and people listen to you.
So I compliment
this board for where we are today. I compliment our former leaders, our former two chairs. You've taken the reins and we've run hard, and I thank you.
Mr. Chair, when this comes up for any time on the county agenda is an opportunity to ask for a presentation to update the full commission. I think, Anne, when you were chair, you and Ron made the rounds. This is part of the reason why it's better to have private sector chairs. I can't communicate to my colleagues and give them a chairman and executive director's update on where we are. Those meetings were invaluable. But anytime we want to update the full county commission, I would say take advantage of that opportunity and the nominating when that
approve the committee appointments, come the board appointments come back in September, is a good time to do that.
Okay.
And is that done in a full commission meeting?
That would be in the full commission meeting. It would not be limited to 3 minutes. You would have the spot at the beginning.
Yeah, but they usually say 4 or 5 minutes. So.
They normally do, but then there's questions. But this may be a good year to do it.
Yeah. And I've done it in the past. Yes. I think what I want to do is the next time I go, I want to tell them what we've done, not what we're planning to do.
Yep.
I've been telling them what we're planning to do for a long time.
Yeah.
I want to go back when we have you know, the trail started, when the when Collins is moving, I'll get to all the things we're doing. But I'd rather report what we've done.
And this may be the right year.
Yeah.
I like the way you set that up, teed it up, too. I told you what we're going to do now.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, a number of us went to the meeting down, I guess you can't really call it a meeting, the trip, where we went to Alachua and Gainesville. I had heard a lot about it, but quite honestly, I was blown away with what they've done. But for those of us who were in the room or on the bus, I'd like you to take just 1 minute or so and tell this group anything you saw or what impressed you or next steps we need to be taking. I'll start with Kim to my left.
Well, the one thing that impressed me was the planning that went into the space size and availability of resources for the type of research that was being done has progressed at the University of Florida to fairly fixed program. So there's no sense in trying to reinvent the wheel, I think, as we move forward and look at planning space that we would have that we should depend heavily upon what it looked like that we saw. And I think they did a great job of, this is most of their lab space is like 450 square feet, if I remember right, and then you have one that was 900 square feet. So and then the other thing, when FSU opened their incubator, and it had a lab in it. I was on their board then. And the one thing that, two things that they did that were wrong. One was that they wouldn't allow anybody in that lab unless they were FSU affiliated when they opened. And what they told you at the meeting we went to was they get a substantial percentage from within the community. And so I actually told Kirby Kimmer, I said, Kirby, let's fill this building up inside. Who we want to be particular about. But until we do, I think we need to entertain all offers. The second one is it's got to be extremely flexible for the people that move into the incubator, that they can move in, move out, move up, move down, so that they can get a bigger space, a smaller space, or leave without great penalty. And they have to have a certain amount of financial resources before they're allowed to take a place. I forget whether it was 4 months or 6 months. Mm-hmm. 6 months. 6 months, then it will pay your rent for 6 months. And I think that's about all that you need to restrict somebody that's trying to move in there. FSU had one tenant, and it was a guy that's still here today, and he's still in business. It has the peanut allergy. Mm-hmm. Jason? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to rent a portion of the lab space, which was 2,500 square feet out of a 30,000 square foot building. FSU was wanting him to pay a percentage of all of the occupied space in the building for camp charges. Well, that meant if you're the only one there, you pay the whole thing. and it just wouldn't work. And so I helped him to get through that, but we don't need to make the same mistakes they did. That's all I say.
Next. Anybody else want to speak up? I know you were there, Eric.
Yeah. I think one of the most useful things from where we stand right now was understanding how they put the money together to build the building. And that although funds from the feds and places such as that are available, the Keith Ray's is skin in the game that he mentioned. And so it's very clear that we're not going to be able to build this thing without the major players putting that skin in the game. And so I think that it probably would be, and it's not going to happen any other way. I mean, this is the way it's going to have to be. That when the time is right to really get serious about moving forward with this thing, I think the major players, FSU, FAMU, TCC, probably the city and the county, and perhaps some others, LCRDA, need to get in the room and figure out how they're going to put this together and put whatever the match needs to be, just how are you going to do this and get it done, and it will move forward probably much more smoothly and easily than it would be otherwise. I think starting with your skin in the game and moving it forward to get the match.
That calendar invite is coming.
Okay.
That's part of what Michael's working on right now with the EDA grant, because you have to put all that match funding together in advance. So absolutely, that is coming, and we know that, but we appreciate that comment as well.
Good observation, though.
And just so everyone knows, you should have gotten a copy of the list of comments. So none of this should be surprising to you.
This is just highlighting it, Liz.
The other thing that stood out to me is the private sector owner is the aggressive nature in which they sought private sector funding, and it was not, you know, please help us and write a check for $5,000. It was, hey, coffee shop, you can be a member of Innovation Park for $250. Don't you want to do that? Yes, is the answer. But when you make it, you know, such a big deal, then lots of people don't join in, because we're such a small community, we get hit up by everybody for asking for big chunks of money. So I loved that about that. I thought that was a great way to open up everything to the community, to say you're a part of this and get that buy-in.
Christian?
I just wrote down a phrase, oh, how times have changed. So I'm going to leave it there.
They know we're a little low.
Huh? Yeah. My takeaway, I will say that all the stuff, there's so many different pieces and parts, but Mark Long coming into a space where he had done our study, knew us, saying, Michael, you and Mark know each other, being aware of each other, and Mark saying, yes, Michael can get this done. All of us understanding it. Eric, your comments that everybody needs to get in the game. We're ready for this. The time's now. We've done all of our homework, and this is the way you get big things done. So I'm just incredibly excited. So there's a world of things we could say about the details, but that's what's standing out to me, is this was proof. We are ready. We can do this.
Well, I was impressed with Mark's comment. As Kristen says, he knows all about us. He knows all about Michael. He knows the opportunities we have. He's an FSU graduate. He's walked his footprint many times. He made a statement that if you build that, I forgot what he said, 50,000 square foot building, whatever it was, I will guarantee you that you will fill that building up in 1 year. So,
I think he said 18 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll fill he didn't know how fast Michael's running.
Just said he's running.
I really thought when an outsider has that much confidence, that knows that much about us, he wasn't just shooting smoke. He really knows who we are, and he really knows the opportunity we have. And it gave me the momentum to say, yes, we can really make this happen. We have the board now in place. We have the staff leadership team now in place. We can make this happen. We're ready for the next step. So, again, thanks to those who couldn't make it. Oh, Dustin, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought it provoked some really, I guess the most interesting thing for me, and I put this in my comment, was just the fact that this wasn't like a partnership of a university. It wasn't, you know, a relationship with the university. This was like an auxiliary unit of the university that was using a metrics dashboard very similar to the city and the county, right? So at the end of the day, or at the end of the year, when FSU and FAMU are asking themselves, did we have a good year, right? They ask themselves about, you know, research dollars. They ask themselves about the quality of students that they've recruited, right? All good things. At UF, it's kind of like they were asking themselves those questions, but they were also asking, how many jobs did we create? How many new businesses were created as a result of the research? How are we filling the actual buildings that we own with new businesses that are growing and expanding, right? What percentage of those companies are actually staying in Gainesville after they leave our facilities, right? And I don't know that I've ever sort of seen that reality. Obviously we have a lot of partnerships, we have a lot of cohesiveness, but there's no, the line of mission was just incredible for me, to hear a university employee, right, that's, Mark is, at the end of the day, he reports to the president, right? Directly to the president, something like that. That was inspiring, and I think that that's a really good blueprint, I think, if you will, for potentially how we might be able to align our missions as well, like getting the universities to the table in a way that isn't just tangentially related to our goals, but like they are very much, we're working off the same dashboard of metrics. Did we have a good year as a community or not?
Well, staff, you hear our board enthusiasm and our encouragement and our willingness to support your initiatives and charge on. We had one of perhaps two former chair breakfasts or briefings. I thought they went extremely well. I was extremely impressed with the comments that these former chairs made relative to what they thought they saw here today and where it was when they were empowered as the chair. We also had Ray Bye, who came and sat into the meeting as well. We had Phil Blank, and he was very mild-mannered and very complimentary of everything. We had Sylvia Jordan, who perhaps was the longest term back chair of the organization, and was there. We had Tom Barron and Bruce Holst both say they had conflicts they could not change, but ask if we do this the second time, they would like to hear it. I think they left really as future, or I guess current, real ambassadors for what we're doing and can talk the talk about how they think progress is being made. So I thought it was a good time. Both Ron and Michael did a wonderful job with the presentation, and we dazzled them within 1 hour for the price of a little bit of coffee and some pastry. I talked a little bit to Ron and would propose to you some thought process about having maybe one or two of our future board meetings, not in this room, but at perhaps one of the FSU facilities or somewhere else here on this campus, perhaps, that we meet there, convene there, do our meeting there, allow that individual, maybe it's at Aerospace or wherever, a lot of us have been to the Mag Lab, but somewhere, maybe several places over several board meetings. Allow them to give us a little understanding of what they contribute to this park, and then conclusion of the board meeting, take a quick tour through that facility. If the board is comfortable with that sort of direction, I think we'll just direct that our next meeting be identified somewhere off this room.
Dave, I think that's a great idea. It really is.
Okay. Everybody comfortable with
it? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I, for instance, Kim might know, maybe most of us, but... And you may know some of the other places you've been to, perhaps, but a number of us, and you probably have been, but a number of us in the room have not been to some of these places who are our tenants, and that would be a good understanding for me of who they are and what they do.
Well, the Enfos TurboCore just won Product of the Year.
Absolutely.
In a major
way. We would love
to
host the first one.
Yeah.
That was
a great idea.
All right. You all have so much going on over there, and maybe we can time it when some other great announcements are coming. I don't know. I would say I have been to Danfoss on a number of occasions. I've been there when the governor's been there. I've been there when the family that owned the company, international company, has been there. Boy, did this community hit a home run when we convinced them to move that plant from Canada to Tallahassee. What a great organization that is.
What a great fit. You know, that wasn't even, it wasn't even considered, I don't think, in the original move was the Magnet Lab and how it might collaborate with the research.
I think that was just a side-by look chance.
That was a coincidence?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And we were just talking to the company last week about that.
Okay, we're good and we're lucky.
I had a chance to have dinner with both the chair and the chair's father, who's a former chair. Yeah. I perhaps gave them a little bit of opportunity. I said, I know how noncommittal this company wants to be on politics, but stepping aside from that, what does the man and woman in Denmark think of our current government? And and it was interesting to hear from an international business leader a little bit of the thought process that goes on. So I'll leave it at that. At this time, I'll ask our executive director to give us his report.
You should have received in the packet a new format of my report as you requested, which is basically to line up with the strategic plan and the steps that have been taken, the things that have been done since the last board meeting are highlighted in bold. I'm not going to go through all of that, but what I think a lot of it we've addressed in the business of today. The big thing that I want to talk about is the current leasing status. We in the Morgan building in particular, if you follow that lease, that's an 11,000 square foot lease for FSU to occupy that space for 1 year. It's a great influx of revenue for us, but it's just 1 year. Also, I will advise you that the Small Business Development Center has given their notice of termination of their lease for 3,000 square feet in the Morgan building as well. There, Keith, if you want, I'll describe where you're going.
Yeah, sure.
They are moving closer to their clients, and they're moving to the FAMU Foundation building down on Tennessee and Franklin.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
We still have some issues that we're working through with FSU, namely the number of people that are going to be moving into that building. It's they're moving the IT services folks over there while they renovate that building, which is the old Elder building. It's 130 people. We have some concerns about building code and making sure that the number of people per, or number of square feet per people per person is the is the right number. We're working through that with Talcor and with FSU to make sure that's the case. I've also offered them the other 3,000 square feet from SBDC, which would, I think, fix that number for us. But SBDC is moving out at the end of May. So FSU has really pretty much already started moving some stuff in. So we're working through that. I have also a small tenant that I'm really excited about trying to get into the lab space there. He's received an SBIR grant, and he's just waiting for the paperwork to come through so he can get funded, and that's expected to be on the 9th. So we're excited about that, actually getting somebody in that lab, an actual entity that's coming out of the MAG lab, and is exactly the kind of businesses we're trying to support. So really excited about that. On the Collins building, we have not moved very far on that, mainly because we've had an opportunity with a couple of different companies who wanted to move in, who wanted to define their own space and how that was going to look. So we held up the RFQ on that so that we could figure out what they needed. One of those companies, we gave a 90-day agreement to let them take time to do their investigation and identify what it was going to cost. They got to $1 million and decided to quit because it was going to involve a major renovation of the lab space. I'm still working with another prospect under confidentiality with OEV, so I can't really talk about it, but we should have some resolution of that prospect hopefully within the next 30 to 45 days. I'm working on putting a spec together that would be an alternative spec, whether this company takes the space or we go back to our original plan, which is the white box, the 10,000 square feet at one end, if you recall, so that as soon as that company makes a decision, we can get that out on the street right away, one way or the other, get it going. So I think our staff is anxious to get this thing moving so we can get moved over there and get things like some of the business incubation programs going and have a larger meeting room and things like that. So we're working diligently on that piece as well.
I'm sorry, Rob.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just a reminder on that. When we say things are on hold, we have not engaged or even started the process for architects, design, but wherever we were ending up with construction and the architect.
We went through a sort of a lengthy review process with Melissa, yeah, trying to better understand the process we had to follow for design build.
Yeah.
There's some specific requirements in statute, mm-hmm, that we have to follow. So we identified those things. I found a template to use for an RFQ. We're going to do a qualifications-based procurement, which basically will require us to hire an architect to help us evaluate the responses that we get. It will not be price-based up front. We'll select the most qualified design-build team, and then based on that, we will then negotiate price within our budget. So that's kind of the process we have to follow. So we've got all of those specifics nailed down. It's just writing the spec, depending on which way we end up going. And then, like I said, as soon as that's available, then we can go to the street and get that out there. As far as the hiring the architect goes, we can do that on a county continuing services contract. I've had preliminary discussions with Lewis and Whitlock, who's obviously did the engineering and architectural study of the building, and they are more than happy to do that part. The bad news for them is if they do that part, they can't participate in the design build team that's going to respond to the RFQ. So, but they're willing to do that, at least last conversation I had.
Well, thank you for that update. I mean, it's been a little while since we've talked about it. My only question is, and this may be too complicated, you may be bringing the other things in for a landing soon, but if we were waiting on potential tenants for a while, I wonder if we could phase this or have two separate scopes. If one is our office space and things like that, take that into the building and start working on that piece of it, and then add in the second piece, but that may not be workable.
I think it's
with the qualification.
That's the challenge. The concern I have is getting good responses.
Yeah.
And I think the more we parse that out, the more complicated we get it, the fewer responses we're going to get.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure we get good qualified people to respond to that.
That's fine. Yeah.
And I thought about that. I was hoping we could maybe phase it, but
yeah.
But when you talk about demolition and the nature of the work that this other company's going to want done, they kind of all fit with the same trade. So I think.
Makes sense. Just wanted to ask the question. I know you all are eager.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, the only other thing I really wanted to mention was the Danfoss expansion. So, go back to that. Wanted to show you a picture of what, what Paul's working on. So, Danfoss presented their plans, their site plans, to the Development Review Committee, which approved the plans, but that's the basic design of the building. As you know, so this is the existing office space here.
Yeah.
So everything's coming out into the parking lot. If you look up here, so they're kind of going out here, and then all of this in here is going to be parking lot. So their net addition is going to be about 54 parking spots. But with utilizing shifts, multiple shifts, they're going to be able to fit enough people into those parking spaces.
Well, I'd like that parking space over even further west.
Additional expansion?
Yeah.
So we did have one challenge, and that growth management was going to require them to have a sidewalk to nowhere along Roberts. But as it turns out, we were grandfathered in because we did our development agreement with the city in 2010, that requirement was a part of the multimodal transportation district that was adopted in 2011. So we were kind of grandfathered in.
A sidewalk along Roberts.
Yes.
Well, I want to be on that sidewalk for sure.
Yeah.
So I should know the answer to this question, but how many more employees does this represent, or doesn't it?
I think we said that over the next 10 years there was another 100 employees associated. Yeah.
Well, the incentive package is 120 over, I think, 3 years?
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's the goal.
We'll take that number.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling everybody.
Yeah.
120.
100 people.
Congratulations.
Yes.
We're excited.
Yeah. Yes.
Paul, please go back and tell your team over there, your management, how proud we are to be associated with your organization, and how complimentary we are of this new facility. It's just gorgeous. So,
well, thanks to you guys for the support, because it's been a long way.
Yeah.
So that's all I have for my report. I'm trying to tee up Denise here.
Yeah, of course, any questions of Ron before we move on to Denise? Anything? Ron, I compliment all the things they're going. I know you go full steam, fast and furious, but thank you for keeping all the balls in the air. Denise,
You have the floor.
All right. I think we have some technical.
Like, of all the times for the website not to load.
I can go on to some of the stuff while we're getting this to load. The tech grant is going to be, the tech grant pitch night is going to be on May 16th from 5:30 to 7:30. I will be announcing the finalists next week. Probably after I announce the finalists, I'm going to be opening up the registration for people to sign up, and I'm going to do a link prior to opening it up to the public. Back to the website, we have officially launched a new website. I have consolidated the LTREA and Innovation Park website into one. This is the new one. I would say probably about 85% of the content on that is brand new. I just made it more fluid, and it kind of focuses more on what we're doing in the park and how we can kind of help get resources out there to prospective tenants and other people who are interested overall.
I think I have a really weak connection.
I think
that's
you
why
do.
It's going slow.
Yeah, thank you.
And just to give you an idea, it's definitely a lot fresher and cleaner looking than what we had before, a lot more up to date.
So Denise, so when anybody goes to Innovation Park, mm-hmm. goes straight here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And LCREA.org no longer exists.
But it is an automatic redirect, so when people do type
yep.
LCREA.org,
yep.
it goes right to the LCREA website on our website. And I have done a lot of different things, like for tenants and stuff within the park. I have a button, if you scroll up, that they can actually submit the event, and then we
yep.
can put it into our calendar as well, just to make it more consolidated. That was a comment that the College of Engineering mentioned, and we incorporated that. A couple other things that we've done is we have, under the park, we have, of course, our different members, but we also have an interactive map. So once you go to the map, and these are just a couple of things, you can go through it later on in your own time, but if you click on the different buildings once it loads, there we go. It gives you a picture of it, and then also a little bit of information about the actual building.
We've wanted something like that for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The website finally reflects.
Yeah.
Boy, what a wonderful skill set to have.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much. Nice.
And we chose to do it in-house so that we get what we want.
Mm. Yeah. And it's a lot cheaper, I think.
A lot.
I think she's
cheap.
I think she's cheap.
Why are you blushing?
She wants to thank her staff.
Me.
And then just the final thing, which actually, if you go under, just if you click on the actual button, you can go through all that too if you want.
Yeah, I was just going to show them that,
yeah.
We even list the, the current projects that we're working on. With images, Dan Fawcett's in the group as well. Michael's working on a rendering for an incubator that we can put in there.
And the IRCB, I think, is at the bottom, too. I've been working on that issue as well. So we have that. And then if you actually click on the park.
Well, before you leave that, real quick,
yes.
Where is that building? And relative to the budget, what happened with the budget in this building?
Last year, the state provided $6 to $7 million. We got another $9.5 million, and we expect that will be enough to start moving forward.
And moving forward with design, or moving forward
with because we're going to need to do some updating of the programming. shouldn't take that long, and then once that's done, we'll move into construction.
So that will actually begin construction.
Yeah, they've already put like $4 million into design.
Oh, yeah, we spent a lot of money.
So design's pretty much finished.
Yeah, well, the building is going to be simplified, and for a number of reasons. A lot of the facilities that we're going to go into it probably aren't as necessary, particularly because there may not be enough critical mass to actually use it productively. So that will be reprogrammed. Probably we will be able to accommodate a few more faculty out there. I mean, the engineering school is going to be particularly happy about having a building like that because they're really crunched for space. And it's also with respect to the fact that cost escalations have occurred, so we're trying to squeeze as much into it as we can. But I think, you know, we're wasting time. The escalation end of the equation keeps going up and up and up, so we're going to get that thing going soon.
Groundbreaking next 3, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months?
That part I don't know. Yeah. I think the next step is to put together the design team and make some final changes to the program, wash that through the system, get cost estimates, and move forward.
Okay, good, good, good. Excuse me, Denise.
Of course. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is prior to the A-Store, I worked with a designer to create a marketing booklet that was provided to all the participants at ACE. It is a 24-page booklet. It has a lot of the information that's on the website, but it is now on the website specifically as an interactive flipbook that will eventually be loading. but I do have it as
in the flash.
And we've been providing a lot to OAB. They've been asking for tons of them, so we've been providing a lot of them.
Trust me, that's really nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, that's one of the nicest pieces of literature I think I've been associated with in any of my organizations I've ever worked with. That is first class. And I invite you to take one of these with you and keep it in your car or somewhere in your briefcase or whatever, and take the opportunity to let other people in this community know what we have going on here. That is a fabulous piece, and I compliment you.
Thank you. And I am done with my report from there.
Well done.
Yep.
Did you want to mention the tech grant?
I did.
Did you mention it?
I did.
I must have been working on the website or something.
Yep.
Property report.
Okay, we're going over everything. Just really the only thing that I've started going on, we got all of our bids in for the Google Center bathrooms remodels. We got all of our bids, and so now we are going forward with that, I think. Yes. I've got the HVAC scheduled to go in, so that'll be in the next week. And I'm putting my schedule together for all the other repairs, and so that remodel will be done hopefully towards the end of next month.
And then we have to prepare for the Morgan building, which is also going to get renovated.
Right.
But we thought we'd get the Fuquay complex restrooms done so they'd have some place to, you know, go outside. And,
correct.
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. How are you
doing? Not outside.
Yeah. Not talking about behind the tree.
The restrooms are outside.
So, and, you know, obviously you can see all the things that have been completed and are in process.
Before you go too far away from those restrooms, Ron, I think it'd be really good that we do something to a little fanfare to the tenants in those buildings about what we're about the upgrades that are coming.
Yes,
we're pleased to be doing this. We want to let you know early on. This is going to start pretty soon, but some really.
You want to write summer for them?
Summer rooms. Some of you who went on a trip don't know what summer rooms are. Those are summer for men and summer for women.
Dave and Kim are really holding down the jokes.
Kim pushed me into that one. But I really would like to get as much fanfare as we can out of these expenses we're paying for renovation. So be thinking of Ron how we might accomplish that.
I knew that the chair puts men's in the bathrooms. They should park mints. There you go.
Don't eat the mint.
Yeah.
Innovative men and innovative women. Yeah.
That one's for the men.
Okay. Yes. One more thing we'd like to talk about.
Just to let you guys know, today the monument signs are being painted. And then they're going to be installing new sign panels.
Oh,
with
great.
The new look.
Who puts the street signs
next
up?
Next week.
The city did, because they're green, like they're public streets, so I would assume the city would do it.
I had those removed, actually. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about Levy, and are you talking about the one?
That was one of them. It just the street. I don't remember what it said, but it was just, it was on peeling.
We had someone stealing signs So it has taken us a very long time to figure out how to make these custom signs. All those sign blades are custom.
Yeah.
So we now have a template that the sign maker can use to make to do replacement signs. It costs a couple $1,000 to redo. I think it was just.
I'm just talking about one that says a street name on it.
Yes.
Right, if they're green, it's the city. Mm-hmm. But I think that there was only one that was up, and I had it removed, and there are Innovation Park
that's
sign
one I saw.
Blades
well,
up
when,
there now.
And when the sign was missing, the city came along and just put one in, because for emergency response purposes,
right.
they want that sign there. So we left that there while we were getting the other signs made. So yeah, they just removed those. So. Yeah, that's a online process. But I think you'll like the new signs, the new monument signs. They're going to be, it'll have that bright white background with the 3D buckyball and just have that cleaner look, basically kind of like what you're seeing on some of that.
With the green outline around the edges.
Yeah, so it should pop out there pretty good. We went with a less expensive sign, mainly because we want to be able to update it more frequently. We don't want to put a ton of money in and then come back and say we're going to change the branding or something. And all that seems to change a lot more quickly. Because I'm cheap, basically.
Thank you. Are there more?
I've got really that those are the main things that are going on. So that's not it for me.
I thank you for that. We've got 1 minute left, and I would not want to pass the opportunity to give our counselor a chance to say anything she'd like since she's sat here for an hour and a half, 2 hours.
I appreciate that. That's great. Thanks.
I had objective to get us out of here at 1:30 precisely on time. I have 45 seconds to say, look, I like the enthusiasm around this room. I like what we are achieving and making the goal. So have a great 2 months before we meet again. Be safe and be here again.
Thank you, Dave.
April.
Oh, man.